confused there in my mind for a moment, but just showing that love, building those relationships is often the first step in communicating the truth. So today we'll discuss reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. I think we saw a little bit in this video. I'll quickly go through. Well, why does this matter? What does Jesus in the scriptures teach about the lost? So I answered the big why. Let's talk about the lostness of man. Matthew 25, verses 41-46 here says, "Then he will say to those on his left, the unsaved, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And further in verse 46, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So we know from Scripture, from what Jesus says, what Jesus warns, there is an eternal punishment, a never-ending torment. This is a reality. Once again, 46, eternal punishment. There is no end, no second chance to place their faith in Christ. There's a time where it's go away. And that's a problem. We see here Revelation 20:15. John pens down, "If anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Someone who was not saved, they are thrown to this lake of fire, this eternal torment. We see that also Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. Many of you are familiar with that. I'm just going through these quickly. You can look them up on your own. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and he was buried. And he was in Hades and he was being in torment. And he cries out to Abraham, "I'm anguished by the flame." So he's in torment. It is a conscious torment forever. There's not a time where this just ceases. Some may argue from Revelation 20, well, it's going to be, death is going to be cast into the lake of fire, so it's going to be ended. No, if it's eternal punishment, that's forever. And that's a big problem for perhaps 6 billion people here on the earth today. Continuing on in Luke 16, it says, "Besides all this, between us as a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who have passed from here to you may not be able, none may be crossed from there to us." There's no crossing once you're over in hell. There's no coming over to the other side. It's once you're there, you're there. There is no second chances. God's incredibly loving God. That's why he gives us 40, 60, 80, 100 years here on earth. That's why Christ died for us. That's why we have the scriptures and the directive to go make disciples of all nations. He wants to use us to reach the lost. And then finally he said to them, if they do not hear, he's saying, well, go ahead and send me back so that way they can hear from me. Hey, turn back. My family doesn't know you. But if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should raise from the dead. So they have the writings of Moses, the prophets. They have the scriptures just as we do, which communicates the truth. And they have us to communicate these truths as well. We're God's first plan to reach and save that which is lost. So hopefully we have built here, we have a need. There is that need. So now as we go look at those statements that we said we would do back in November, seeking to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in doing this, looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the disciples asked Jesus if he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. His response is that it's not for them to know when the Father is going to do this, when he's going to restore all things back to the way it ought to be. But he says, "I have something important for you." He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." He says, don't worry about when I'm going to come, when I'm going to restore this. I'm going to give you power to do a more important job. So first off, we want to seek to reach the lost here in Bay County, in Panama City, Lynn Haven, Callaway, wherever you live locally. It says here, Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit will empower them. The Holy Spirit has come to, among other things, to give us power. many, actually I'm not sure how many in this room, but I know personally from experience, I did not grow up always believing that Jesus was the Savior. So when I made that decision, immediately I was empowered and bold, and I was telling people about my faith. I didn't have an evangelism class or this or that. The church I was saved in did teach me some good stuff and equip me, but it was the Holy Spirit saying, you got to convey these truths. Whatever was good enough for you to place your faith in is good enough to be telling others about. So I'm a firm believer. You don't necessarily have to have all these evangelism classes. You don't have to have all this wonderful stuff. You don't have to be a seminary graduate or the leader, your Sunday school teacher, whatever. Those are beneficial extra tools, but we have the Holy Spirit empowered to help seek and save that which is lost. Get empowerment from there, starting with Jerusalem, the immediate city, Judea and Samaria, those surrounding areas, whether Jewish heritage or hated other races. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter. You're to save all and finally the end of the earth, everywhere, just like that Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, tying those two together. So we've been empowered by God for a purpose. We are new creations so that we may continue to seek and save that which is lost, just as Jesus did. As he said at the end of the Zacchaeus interaction, when Zacchaeus came and he wanted to, Jesus said, yes, let's go eat at your house. Well, I came to seek and save the lost. This was Jesus' priority. Remember that as disciples of Christ, we are one who reflects the character and priorities of Christ, engage in modeling and reproducing that in others. The lost is a big priority of Christ. It ought to be a big priority of ours. God desires for us to reach the lost here in Bay County with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also desires us to reach and save the lost worldwide to the end of the earth and to all nations. We can see that in the Acts 1:8 verse. We also see it here in the Great Commission. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All nations. Everywhere, those who don't look like us, who don't act like us. We may never see, but we're commanded by God, number one, to go. Number two, make these disciples. We're called to be involved both locally and globally. And there are a number of ways we can do this. They're listed up here. They're also listed in Romans chapter 10, I believe it is. We're going to pray for the lost. Prayer is incredibly, how do we reach the lost? Pray for those for reaching the lost, whether they're missionaries or the local churches in those areas around the world. We have, for example, the Great Commission Women meeting next Tuesday, correct? The 19th, whatever that is, Tuesday 19th. You all aren't meeting? But next week, so a week from Tuesday, whatever the third Tuesday in June is, it's back there. But the Great Commission Women here, if you've never joined them for a meal, and they'll watch a little video about what the Alliance is doing, reaching the lost of missionaries, and you have an opportunity to pray for those missionaries and those lost folks. So yeah, I have it written down, Tuesday, June 19th, which is not this Tuesday, but... so I'd encourage you, if you're a lady, I would encourage you to join this. Be in prayer. What's the Lord doing around the world? Join them in prayer. They're supporting the various missions organizations. So as a church, we set aside 24% of whatever is given undesignated funds towards missions. This is why last weekend we had the Great Commission a special offering to go ahead and support missionaries with the Christian Missionary Alliance to send them off, and which is a wonderful thing. If you're vetted through the Alliance, you don't have to do your personal fundraising. All the churches band together and say, yes, we support you, and here's whatever you need. They might have special projects, but it's nice they can focus on really impacting the world for the gospel. So if you hadn't had a chance to give, you could still give to this church, or you can go online and just give with a credit card or your a check, whatever you'd like to do. So I'd encourage you, each of us, to do that. How are we going to support? There's prayer, there's financially. You can support short-term missions trips. A number of folks have gone out from this church, short-term missions trips, to connect in what's the Lord doing all around the world. As Joseph mentioned, in 5 weeks, apparently, Joshua and I will be going to Peru with the Christian Missionary Alliance with about 37 others from Alabama to to partner in what the Lord is doing worldwide. Anna is up in Atlanta right now with Envision. A number of other folks have come from this church and doing whether a long-term or short-term mission trip. So just supporting those folks. You can personally go on a short-term mission trip or long-term. There's clearly, go, maybe the Lord's calling you, put it working on your heart for a few weeks, perhaps a few months. Envision is not just for young folks. It might look young and trendy, but I believe last year they had an 80-year-old woman go for a few months. So there's needs all around the world, around America, and ways to get involved if you so desire. So we want to reach and save the lost worldwide. Prayer, financial, and going ourselves are three main ways to do that. And then as we saw in the pen video, we want to share the gospel with love. If it's not rooted in love, if it's not oozing love, it's not going to be effective. Before placing my faith in Christ, I got into a number of arguments with people over the gospel. I can't remember if they came to me with the gospel in love or not. But love certainly helps to bring down our defenses when people see that we do really care. So here we have Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Reaching the lost is generally a highly relational process where people don't care about how much you know until they know how much that you care. So we have the parable of the Good Samaritan here, kind of an illustration of the love that we're to show to the lost. Not necessarily, this isn't showing this is how you're to share the gospel, but this is the love that we ought to have as we share the gospel with others. So kind of the background, Jesus, he's answering the Jewish lawyer, well, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And explaining what it means to love your neighbor and yourself, he goes into the parable, the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell into the hand of robbers who stripped him and beat him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, there's a priest going down that road, and we saw him, he passed on the other side. And obviously, the priest should have stopped, should have helped, should have, he would have been expected to love this person, but didn't. Also, a Levite, when he came, saw him, he passed by the other side. So two men, these Jewish religious leaders, did not stop and help. But then there was a Samaritan, this half-Jew, half-Gentile, much despised man in that time, came to where he was and saw him, and he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, then set on him his own animal and brought him to the inn to take care of him. So look at this. It's costing him time to take care of this man. It's costing him resources, putting the oil and wine, putting on his own animal. Once again, his comfort. This man can ride instead of walk, instead of him riding. Took him to an inn to take care of him, which is going to cost money. The next day, he took out the 2 denarii and gave to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. What incredible love he's showing. So sacrificially paying for this. And he said, I'll come back. I'll give you more money if it takes more money. Just do whatever you have to take care of this man. And I'm going to give up more time because I'm coming back. I'm coming back to see how he is doing when he returns. So which of these three do you think proved to be a good neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, you go and do likewise. So obviously the one who showed mercy was the one who loved his neighbor as himself. So I believe we must share the gospel with love. It's imperative. We're not trying to win an argument. We're not trying to show that we're smarter, that they're dumber, that they're whatever, that we're whatever. This is about communicating Christ's love. If Christ loved us so much that he died for us, how can we communicate that with anger and disdain for somebody? It's not going to work very well. This fruit of the Spirit, love, must ooze out if we're going to reach those lost. It's a condition of our heart of reaching out to others. So seeking to reach the gospel, or seeking to reach the lost of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like that we made sure we have the phrase with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of great organizations that reach the lost, that do good things. There's lots of ways. People are being fed. People are being clothed. But those organizations are not doing it for Christ. They may have their bills paid. They may have food on the table. But without the gospel, without the good news of Christ, these people are still lost. And yes, it may take us coming alongside and feeding or clothing or doing whatever. But they need the gospel. Jesus did not come to seek and save that which is lost simply from hunger, from suffering, or from any physical or emotional pain, though he often does heal in this way. Jesus came to give new life. He came to save and rescue the person from their sin, where Satan or anybody else cannot destroy. Remember, we will spend eternity somewhere. We were created for eternal relationship with God, to be with him and grow in his grace and his truth, both today and for all eternity, which is why, as a church, we desire to seek, reach, and save the lost in Bay County, reach and save the lost worldwide, and do this with love. And all this is about, God wants to use us, but power really is with God. That's why God gives us the power by placing God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, to do so. John 6:44, a great reminder. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. God must first draw that unbeliever. God must draw the atheist, the Muslim, the whomever to himself. I love this quote here by Lewis Berry Chafer, True Evangelism. Pastor Hazard, did you have to read this book? It was very dense. I had a difficult time with it, like most of his writing. But there's an incredible quote that I love. The personal element in true soul-winning work is more a service of pleading for souls than a service of pleading with souls. The power comes to pleading with God for this person's salvation, then pleading with that person, arguing with them on the street corner or the whatever. That doesn't mean that we don't share the gospel. We don't go into those uncomfortable situations. But Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So we must go to the Father, and then, God, what do you want me to do? There's a whole bunch of lost people around me. What do you want me to do, Lord? And so with that, as we get ready to end our message, I think it's a good time for us to reflect. We've covered quite a bit. So how are you doing with seeking to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How are you personally doing with that? If I were to grade myself, I would say I'm doing quite poorly at that. I don't know how you all are doing, but I think now's a good time, Lord, search my heart, or maybe you're already saying that. Perhaps look at these other areas. How are you doing at yielding to the Lordship of Christ as the head of the church, your life? Being committed to prayer, loving one another's family, seeking reconciliation with one another, faithfully stewarding our resources, intentionally making disciples. As we end our series, how are you doing with all of these? So I'd like to give you, I don't know, perhaps 30 seconds just to spend with the Lord and perhaps repentantly. Lord, I have dropped the ball in this. Empower me to be better. Give me the heart to do these. Give me the desire to want to do this. And then help me do this. And also at this time, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know the gospel that you are dead in your sins and Jesus died for you on the cross, he loves you incredibly much. If you haven't made that decision, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, I would encourage you in this silent time to do that right now. To say, Lord, Jesus, I believe that you're God. Forgive me of all my sins. You know there are a lot. I want the personal relationship with you. You can just pray that to him in this silent time. Let's go ahead and have that time with him. Lord, we are all cracked vessels. But you desire to use us. We all continue to fall short in one or all of these areas. Help us to have a heart for you. Help us to have a heart as you see other people. Help us to reach the lost. Lord, I pray that if anybody decided today to trust you as Savior, that you would confirm in their hearts right now that they've made a wonderful transaction and that they have forever gone from death to eternal life, eternal punishment to eternal life, wonderful life with you, something that cannot be taken away. Lord, thank you for this time that we've spent hearing from you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess a couple more things. Sorry. If I can get you all just to bow your heads, I'm just going to ask a question. I don't want anybody looking around, assessing, so you can be free to answer this question here. Just have your head bowed, your eyes closed. So as we've talked about sharing the gospel, so if the Lord were to put you in a situation right now where you need to share the gospel with somebody, this is the time to lead them to Christ, do you feel like you could do that? I'd just like you to, right now, just raise your hand if you feel like, man, I could not do that. If Lord had put me in that position, Brian, I would love training. Don't say I would love training. Brian, I do need training whether I want it or not. I couldn't do that. I just like to show, hey, I would need help. Nobody looking around, I'd just like to get a sense for how I can come alongside you all. I'd like some help in that area. If a friend, a loved one, a stranger. Okay. You go ahead. You can put your hands down. We'll open our eyes. Well, let me just, I have another little prayer for us as we, so if you desire that, man, Lord, I'm going to seek to reach the lost. Here's our prayer that we've had. And if you agree with this, just say amen. Lord, we pray we will never overlook reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Empower us to reach and save the lost in Bay County and worldwide with your gospel and with your love. If you agree with this, say amen. Amen. All right, Ken, now you can lead us.